I want to begin with a personal testimony that when I arose this morning, my voice was quite paralyzed. I had a bad case of laryngitis at the 8 o'clock mass, and I was preaching like this. But my paralyzed voice has been raised up. It may still sound a little gravelly from time to time, but I'm just going to say that what could not walk this morning is walking, talking, singing, and shouting right now. My voice, praise God. Listen, I want to talk today about the title of this message would be Four Milestones on the Highway to Heaven. Four Milestones on the Highway to Heaven. Now, a milestone is something that kind of helps you to get your bearings, kind of helps you to know the progress you're making. You know, I don't know if you ever noticed those mile markers on the road, but these days with our GPS, none of us pay much attention. But I remember before the days of these GPS, I'd keep seeing that little mile marker on the side of the road say, I'm getting closer, I'm getting closer, I'm getting closer. And so we see that these mile markers, if you will, or these mile posts that I'm talking about would be four fundamental things that help us to recognize that we're on the right road and we're going in the right direction. So let's take a look at four mileposts on the highway to heaven. And the first milepost is hunger. Hunger. Listen to what the text says in the gospel. It says that Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, and then it became known that he was at home. Many gathered together, so much so that there was no longer any room for them, not even around the door, and he preached the word to them. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, I'm going to return to this in the second part of the homily, but I want to just say that it says that Jesus is at home. I want you to know that what that meant is, for Jesus, Capernaum was not his birthplace, Nazareth was, but he had made Capernaum his home base, and the home in which he lived while he was there was Peter's house. We know that from other passages. So he's at home, namely he's at Peter's house. And the people hear about it, and the people are hungry. They want a word. They want healing. They are not a self-satisfied people. They realize they have needs. They have thirst. They have hunger. They have desire. They have longing. And they come looking for Jesus. They crowd in around the house. You know, there were no PA systems in that day. People had to really crowd in to listen. They're crowding in to listen to Jesus speak. Oh, church, they're hungry. Do you understand that? It takes a hungry person to come out of the house. Self-satisfied people sit home and watch TV. Hello? Got me a big widescreen TV, you know. But hungry people go out. I'm glad you were hungry enough to come here this morning. The Lord has some food for us this morning. The Lord wants to feed us with His Word. The Lord wants to feed us with communion, fellowship, beautiful music. The Lord wants to satisfy some of the longing of our heart. But brothers and sisters, pay very careful attention. Your hunger is a very sacred thing. You know, when we were growing up, most of us heard, now, learn to be satisfied. And you know what I'm here to tell you today? Don't you dare be satisfied. This world cannot cut the deal. You have a desire in you that is infinite, that is without limit. You have a desire that only God can fill. You never will be satisfied with anything in this world, and it's just impossible for a limited, finite world to satisfy your unlimited and your infinite longing. Only God can fill the God-sized hole in your heart. Are you praying with me? Stay hungry. Stay thirsty. You see, what happens a lot of times is that we want to kind of anesthetize or, you know, put to sleep our hunger. So we think, well, I'll drink, or I'll chase after women, or I'll run around and buy all kinds of possessions and drive fancy cars, and everybody think I'm cool, and I'll, you know, etc. You get the idea, right? We're trying to cover over that hunger We're trying to put it to sleep, but it keeps coming back. Aren't you praying with me? When was the last time you were ever satisfied? Oh no, church, you have a hunger. You have a thirst. You have a longing. And it's supposed to be there. And it will never be satisfied until one day you see God face to face. Your hunger keeps you out there. It keeps you on the road. The first milepost on the highway to heaven is hunger. Now, it's almost, you might say, a milepost on the entrance ramp. You see, because it's what puts us on the highway to heaven. You would not be here this morning if you weren't hungry. Are you praying with me? Your desire, your hunger, your longing, your thirst brought you here today. So again, honor your hunger, respect it, reverence it. It's talking to you about God. Deep within my heart says to me, seek always the face of the Lord. Seek constantly the face of the Lord. Yes, I say to you, my friends, stay thirsty, stay hungry. Again, it's that which gets us out. Don't try to cover over the hunger, the thirst. It's there. Don't try to deny it. I said it's there. Do not try to deny it. Now, the next thing I want you to notice, though, is that in their hunger, Jesus starts to proclaim a word to them. He preaches. And this is kind of an aside, but I just want to say, wouldn't that have been great to hear Jesus preach? Oh, church, the Bible says that Jesus spoke, and it said the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one with authority and not like their scribes. It says elsewhere in Scripture, in Luke chapter 4, that all spoke well of him, and they wondered at the gracious words that came from his mouth. And likewise, we read in Mark chapter 12, all the people heard him gladly. Oh, what a thing it would have been to hear Jesus preach. Keep praying, though, church, for powerful preachers. Keep praying for those who preach. Because you see, again, the Lord works today through his preachers to proclaim a word. Just pray that we stay faithful to God. Just pray that we get out of the way and let the Lord do the talking. Amen? And even if today I got to serve him with a gravelly voice and serve him in my weakness, I just want to serve him. I want to let the Lord speak through me. And the Lord is saying today, I know you're hungry. And I'm going to satisfy your hunger, but I want you to understand, as long as you're in this world, there's still going to be a hunger. Keep coming to me. I'm the answer, the true answer to your hunger, to your thirst, to your longing. I know you think it'll just be a new car, a new stereo. You think it'll be a new girlfriend. You think something like that'll do it. It's not going to cut the deal. I'm the answer to your longing, to your hunger, to your thirst. Keep coming, says the Lord. So the first milepost on the highway to heaven is hunger. Now the second one is help. Help. The text goes on to say that as they were gathered there, there were some who came bringing a paralytic, and they carried him on a mat, four men, and they were unable to get near Jesus because of the crowd. And so they went up on the roof above, and they opened up the roof. And after they'd broken through, they let down on the mat the paralytic right before the Lord. Now, what an amazing, isn't that a beautiful story? I mean, imagine breaking open a roof for a friend and lowering them right in front of Jesus. Now, church, I want to say that the second milestone on the highway to heaven is we all need some help down here. I said, we need some help down here, and we need help from one another. Listen, I want to say to you, I am the result of prayer. I am the result of hard work. People brought me to the Lord when I was paralyzed with ignorance, paralyzed with stubbornness, paralyzed with sin, paralyzed with fear and anxiety. People kept bringing me to the Lord. Are you praying with me? And I'm not alone. Somebody brought you to the Lord. You're not here today because you heard about God all by yourself. Somebody had to tell you about the Lord. We need help to make this journey in faith. We need folks that help us, that pray for us, that bring us to the Lord in prayer. I said, somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time and prayed for me, Church, can you say with me, I'm so glad they prayed. I am so glad they prayed for me. Oh, we need help, and the Lord sends us helpers. And again, I just want to say that you and I aren't here today because we're so good, because we're so right. We're here because somebody has been praying for us. Again, do you understand the kind of help that the Lord sends us? You know, He sends us the help, but I tell you, 9 times out of 10, it comes through somebody else. And I've told you Sunday after Sunday how I treasure your prayers for me, how I treasure your example, how I treasure the fact that you bring me, in whatever paralysis I have, you bring me before the Lord and you lay me before the Lord in prayer. I thank God for your prayers, for your witness, for your example. Because of you, I am the man I am today. And because of you, I will be the man I need to be tomorrow. I thank God for every one of you. I know that sometimes, like anyone else, I've got my issues and you got yours. And we can get paralyzed in those issues. But somebody keeps bringing us to the Lord. Now, I want to say to you that some of us in this very church today have been in this very house where this miracle took place. Because I told you it's Simon Peter's house in Capernaum. And some of us in this church went to Israel and we went to the little town of Capernaum, which is now in ruins. It's an archaeological site. And over Peter's house, the ruins of the walls are there. And over that, over the ruins of his house is a church. And I'm going to show you a picture. I know you can't see it really from where you are, but I'm going to hold it up anyway. In this picture, there are 3 women from this very parish. And I believe all 3 of them are here tonight, today, in this church. And they are there, and they're looking down into an opening in the church floor, looking down into the house of Simon Peter, where this miracle happened. Yes, I see Shirley Austin there. I see Miss Dolores Young, and I see Miss Connie. I see them there. I see them in this picture. And I see Miss Jimmy Claire as well. Miss Jimmy Claire is in there. And I want you to know something. They're looking down, just like those 4 men who lowered their friend down on the mat. And I have it on the best of authority because I asked them. I said, what were you doing? They said, we were praying for the parish. Do you understand something, church? If you had any paralysis, here's 4 women lowering you down. I say that church is just at the level where the roof would have been in Simon Peter's house. And they're tearing that roof off with their prayers. And they're lowering you and me down into that house. Right in front of the Lord where that miracle took place. People today still in Capernaum go to the house of Peter. They look down and they lower folks down on mats spiritually. Are you praying with me? I say somebody prayed for me. I'm so glad these women prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. Are you glad, church? You see, we need help, and the Lord wants to keep helping us. And again, we bring each other to the Lord. So again, that miracle still takes place today. So we see the first milestone is hunger. It's kind of like the entrance ramp that puts us on the highway to heaven. And the second milestone is help. We need help, and the Lord sends us help. Now, the third milestone is healing. You notice that, again, this paralyzed man is told that he's able to get up and walk. Again, let me just say to you now, the normal Christian life is to be experiencing an ongoing healing in your life. It's to be experiencing day by day the effects of prayer, the effects of grace, so that more and more you can say, I'm leaving some sins behind. Some of the things that used to paralyze me don't paralyze me anymore. Some of the things I was afraid of, I'm not afraid of. I'm now confident and I'm self-assured. Some of the sins that used to afflict me have been put to death. They're gone. Some of the things that paralyzed me, whether it was anger or fear or lust or greed, are being diminished and more and more. I'm walking and I'm walking strong. Can you pray with me, church? Is the Lord healing you? Healing is a normal part of the normal Christian life. If you are faithfully walking up the King's Highway, I'm telling you, expect a healing. And church, some of us can already testify, I pray you're with me, I pray that you can testify the Lord is in fact healing your soul. Have any of you ever been paralyzed by some things that don't paralyze you anymore? I'm a witness. I've told you I used to be paralyzed by anxiety. Hard to come out of my room. Paralyzed. And now I don't get afraid of most things. Takes a lot to get me anxious these days. I thank God for that. It's a miracle. It's because of folks like you who brought me paralyzed before the Lord and said, help this guy, Pope, man, he's in trouble. I was paralyzed by other things, by fear, by ignorance, by just plain stupidity. And again, I'm experiencing a new heart, a new mind, a new will. I'm giving up past sins, and church, I'm not just less lustful, I'm now chaste. Lord, I'm not just less fearful, I'm now courageous. I'm not just less greedy, I'm more generous. Do you see what the Lord is doing? He's healing us. I say, I'm testifying, I'm just asking you, what's your testimony? The normal Christian life means you're being healed from moment to moment, day by day. And I pray that as you look back on the journey, you say, you know, I'm not what I want to be, but I am not what I used to be. I am not what I used to be. Now, you see, this paralyzed man gets up in the matter of a minute, see? But for most of us, that minute is stretched out a little more, amen? See, the Lord works these miracles kind of in the moment so that we can see that what happens for them in the moment happens for us over the stretch of a life. But again, I say to you, church, if you're living the normal Christian life, you're experiencing healing. I know there's trials, and sometimes there's setbacks, and sometimes there's even backslides. But you just keep getting up, church. The Lord is going to heal you. He's already healed you, and He's going to continue in this healing. Are you praying with me? Now, we've seen, therefore, three of the four milestones. We've seen that the Lord, if you will, is allowing us to realize that hunger is the first milestone, kind of the entrance ramp onto the highway to heaven. That along the way, we experience His help through others who carry us. Even if we're paralyzed, someone picks us up and carries us to the Lord. That our faith, that our healing comes to us from the Lord, but through others. And the third thing is that we do experience, in fact, that healing, that's a normal part of the Christian life. And I want you to see that the Lord says to this man, in order to heal him, He says three things. He says, rise. He says, take up your mat. And He says, walk. And all three of those things have important things to tell us. First of all, rise. Rise. In other words, as if to say, receive new life. Do you understand, church? The Lord died to give you and me a new life. Not the old worldly, weighed down life that's in this world. Do you think that Jesus Christ died so that you could be angry, bored, lonely, discouraged, and depressed? Walking around kind of in a daze? The Lord died to give you life, to bring you alive and make you joyful. So the Lord says to this man, rise up, receive a new life, no longer be paralyzed, but now no longer be weighed down with weakness, but now come to life, be set free, rise to new life. And church, that's what the Lord wants to give us, day by day. I've told you many times before, I'm 50 now and my body isn't as sound or sleek. I used to be young, tan, and trim. Now I'm old, white, and fat. The body's heading south, but I'll tell you what, the soul is more alive at 50 than it ever was at 25 or at 18. Rise up, He says, rise up. And I tell you, I'm a younger man at 50 than I ever was. If you saw me at 25, you'd say, boy, he's serious. He's intense, man. That guy's wound up pretty tight, isn't he? See? Yeah, all right. But again, paralyzed in rigidity. And the Lord is helping me to lean and sway a little and don't ask me to dance. So the Lord says to him, rise, rise, come to new life. And then He says, take up your mat. Now look, this man was relying on a mat. And you know, some of us have been trying to rely on things that we got no business relying on. You know, some folks say, man, my nerves are bad. I think I need to have a good strong drink. Or two or three or four. Some folks say, well, in order to feel better about myself, I need to gossip and I need to detract other people. Some folks are trying to heal the wound of their hunger by heaping up all kinds of worldly things. And the Lord says, throw away those crutches. If you will, you've been leaning on that crutch. I'm going to give you the strength to pick up that crutch and have authority over it. So that you, if you drink, you'll drink in moderation. And again, you don't need to gossip and tear other people down to feel good about yourself. I'm going to tell you right now, what you've been depending on, you don't need it anymore. In fact, it doesn't need to carry you anymore. You can rise up and carry it. So the Lord is saying, take authority over the things you've been trying to depend on. Whether it's that Valium, whether it's the aspirin, whatever it is, he says, come to me and I want to give you healing. Now again, rise, he says, take up your mat, and then he says, walk. Walk. That is to say, engage in new behavior. Make new strides. Experience and use new power. Have new strength. Church, are any of you doing stuff today you never thought you could do? You know, and I'll tell you right now, Darrell Coley has that old gospel song. He says, I'll tell you what, the Lord is preparing me for something I can't handle right now. He's preparing me. And again, you will do things in the future that you don't think you can do today. You'll do it. You will do it. Because God can do that for you. God can give us new strength so that we do things we never thought we could. So he says to this man, rise, receive new life. No longer lean on the crutches of this world and come to me and be healed and walk in a whole new way. Do things you never thought you could do. Come alive and see gifts come alive in you you never thought you had. I have come to give you healing. Now the third milestone, therefore, what I'm describing to you right now is the normal Christian life. That we become awake and healed, and we begin to experience old and bad things going away and new and wonderful things. I didn't tell you there won't be any crosses. I didn't tell you you'd never get cancer or die. I'm just telling you that your soul can come alive with the Lord, and you can have a joy in moments you never thought you could. The Lord can do that for us. That is the life he died to give us, a life that is being healed, that is being strengthened, that increasingly the paralysis of past things are let go of and we walk in whole new ways. The fourth milestone then is simply this. We've seen hunger, we've seen help, we've seen healing, and the fourth milestone is hope. Hope. Listen, the text says, the upshot of this whole thing, they were astounded and glorified God. And they said, we have never seen anything like this. We've never seen anything. Church, again, the normal Christian life is to be men and women who are filled with hope, who are filled with joy, who have an astonishment at what God is doing, who look at their life and say, Lord, I'm thrilled at what you're doing for me, for others. They have wonder and awe. They're excited and joyful and alive in what God is doing. That is the normal Christian life on the highway to heaven. Now, what is hope? Hope is the confident expectation of God's help. Are you praying with me? I know that some of us in this church are facing some challenges right now. But again, the Lord can bring a hope alive in us. So that once again, we have confident expectation. I don't exactly know how, but it will be all right. I have come to see in my life how the Lord can make a way out of no way. How he can write straight with crooked lines. How he can take our brokenness and use that very thing to make us whole. The Lord has a way of doing it. And as we begin to experience that, we become men and women of hope, men and women of joy, who are alive and thrilled at what God is doing and can say with these folks back in Capernaum 2,000 years ago, I have never seen anything like this when I think of what the Lord is doing in my life. Now, I realize that this doesn't mean that we're always walking around kind of with a zippy-doo kind of, giddy silliness. I realize we have different personalities, and I realize that on the surface of our life, there can be moments of grief, There can be moments of sorrow, and there can just be plain moments where you're just plain exhausted and need to go to bed. And you know, I'll tell you what, you may see me joyful right now, but don't see me first thing in the morning before my cup of coffee. All right? You know, it takes a cup of coffee to bring it all up. But I'm just going to say to you, church, that we all have our moments, but I'm not talking about some kind of a silly, syrupy, emotional, zippy-doo kind of joy. I'm talking about a deep, serene, confident joy in our heart. And that, yes, there may be things on the surface that cause us a wave of grief, a wave of sorrow, or even of momentary anxiety. They may rock us back on our heels, but we're always able to go back to that place where there is hope, where there is confidence, where there is joy, and there is thrill at all the wonderful things that God is doing. Church, I'm trying to describe to you the normal Christian life, the life where we walk up the King's highway. And again, we've talked about some mileposts, that hunger gets us up and has us start that walk with the Lord, and that we experience help along the way, and that we experience healing and new life along the way, and that because of those things, we begin to become alive with hope, with joy, and with confidence. Are you praying with me? You say, well, if you're describing the normal Christian life, preacher, I'm not quite sure I've got it. I might be running a temperature. It's all right. But begin to lay hold of this vision. You see, sometimes it takes the first step for us to really begin to get well and to live the normal Christian life is to get our eyes on it, keep our eyes on the prize and say, that is what Jesus Christ died to give me, and I am going to claim it in the power of Jesus Christ. So if you're struggling at times, you say, I'm not always that thrilled, Pastor. I'm not always that confident. I'm not always that hopeful. That's all right. I want you to do this, though. Realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross to give you and me the normal Christian life. Not to walk around in a daze and bored and confused and unhopeful and stressed out and anxious and bitter and resentful. That is not the life that Jesus Christ died to give us. Are we clear on that? He died to give us hope, joy, confidence, and a thrill that as we see what he's doing, we say, I've never seen anything like this. Lay hold of the vision and claim the life that Jesus Christ died to give us. Now, I'll just say finally, I'm a witness more and more. More and more, I'm laying hold of this life. I wish I could say that it's there every single day and at 100%. But I know this. I may not be what I want to be, but I am not what I used to be. And the Lord is changing my life. Now, are you walking up the King's highway? It's an old gospel song. It just says, it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. But church, walk up the King's highway. Let your hunger keep drawing you to God. Experience help and healing on the way. Experience hope and joy begin to come alive. Keep walking up the King's highway and look for these mileposts and keep looking for them. I promise you in the Lord Jesus Christ, increasing joy, increasing holiness, increasing love, so many of these gifts. Church, it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there. But the pure in heart, but the Lord offers us this way, and all we need to do is walk in it. Somebody say amen. Amen.